Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. Scientists in eastern Antarctica are measuring the thickness of sea ice by hand. And for the first time ever, they're comparing what they see with live data taken from satellites trained on their location. This expedition is one of over 200 projects exploring the ends of the Earth under the banner of the International Polar Year. I spoke with NASA physical scientist Torsten Marcus of the Goddard Space Flight Center while he was on board the Aurora Australis, an icebreaker in the middle of sea ice in the western Antarctic. Marcus talked about doing research on moving ice, how it relates to the big picture of Earth's climate, and about some curious penguins who couldn't get enough. Here's Torsten Marcus. Well, Dr. Marcus, welcome to Earth and Sky.
You're welcome.
So you're saying you're working on sea ice down there. Can you give us an idea, whereabouts are you right now?
I'm on an Australian icebreaker in the middle of the Antarctic sea ice at around 120 east, so which is East Antarctica, basically south of Australia, where we're doing measurements on the sea ice.
What are some of these measurements that you're doing?
Right, this is essentially, it's a very interdisciplinary voyage. On the ship are biologists, oceanographers, and also physical scientists. And for the sea ice physics group, where I work with, we are doing measurement of the physical properties of the sea ice. Specifically, we're measuring the ice thickness, the snow depth, and the physical properties of the snow and the sea ice, things like density, wetness, and so forth. And we do this quite frequently and very extensively to get good spatial statistics for this region.
How do you measure the various ways that the sea ice is changing?
The problem is with our satellite measurements that we have very little idea still how good our measurements are. And in my case, I'm involved in two satellite missions. One is the EOS Aqua AMSAR-E mission, and one product I developed together with colleagues at Goddard is to measure the snow depth on the sea ice. And I get back to this in a second. The other satellite I'm working with is the ISAT laser altimeter, which measures the height of the sea ice together with the snow above sea level. Both of these measurements are critical to better understand the sea ice mass balance. We have a good understanding about the aerial extent of the sea ice. We have monitored this for 30 years. But we know very little about the sea ice thickness and the snow depth on top of it. As I said in the beginning, the problem is that these measurements, the ice thickness and the snow depth, are very difficult to validate. So we are down here to measure as hard as we can, and then once I'm back on land, to compare those measurements with the satellite data.
I believe that you traveled up by helicopter to see some of these areas of sea ice.
The most amazing thing, I think, is we're walking on the sea ice and drilling, and the ice thickness varies from, say, 20 centimeters to several meters. And sometimes we do forget that it feels like you're walking on the moon, essentially. It's just a wide area. It feels very solid, and you tend to forget that actually underneath this 20 centimeters of ice that we're walking on is actually 4,000 meters of ocean. At one point, it cracked up, and the ice, open water formed around us. And then we started to realize that we are actually on moving ice. It's very safe because the ship is always next to us. But I thought that was quite exciting because it made us aware again that we're actually walking on pretty thin ice, literally.
How are you prepared to walk on that? Are you wearing some kind of protective gear?
Well, of course, we wear appropriate thermal clothing, and the floes are big enough that we don't need to wear immersion suits. If the floes are smaller, then, you know, we would have to wear immersion suits. But we do have sleds with us. We have food with us. We have ice axes, throw bags. This is all, and the radios, this is all required once we get out on the ice. So the throwback is the first essential rescue item. If somebody falls into the water, we have a throwback with us, which is a rope essentially with a ring to it attached, so that the person can grab onto it and you can get him out as soon as possible. So far, nobody fell in, so which is really good, but these are the security measures that are taken. Also, people from the bridge are constantly watching the movement of the ice and see whether it starts to crack up or so.
Could you give us an idea of the big picture here? What do these measurements about how this sea ice thickness is changing, what does this tell us about the big picture of Earth's climate?
And that's an excellent question, but it takes me a little while to explain this, because it's a little different compared to the Arctic. Because one thing that we don't see in the Antarctic so much, as we do see in the Arctic, is we don't see as much as shrinking in the Antarctic as we see in the Arctic right now. As a matter of fact, it's even slightly increasing. And this has to do probably with the ice thickness and the snow that's on top of it. The Antarctic system is a little more complicated in this regard than the Arctic is. And the reason is that underneath the sea ice, Antarctic sea ice, we have a water mass referred to as warm deep water, which constantly supplies heat to the sea ice and therefore reduces the freezing rate of the sea ice in the Antarctic. And for this reason, the Antarctic sea ice is thinner, roughly 50 to 70 centimeters on average, than the Arctic sea ice. Additionally, we do have more snowfall on Antarctic sea ice than we do have in the Arctic. The snow load in the Antarctic can be so thick that it submerges the ice flow below sea level. And when this happens, seawater is flooding the ice flow and we have freezing on top of the sea ice. So in the Antarctic, sea ice can grow at the bottom as well as on top of the sea ice through the flooding process. Now, if we models predict an increase in precipitation with global warming, for the Antarctic, this could mean that if we have an increased precipitation, we have more snow load on the sea ice, and so we have more flooding and subsequently more ice formation on top of the sea ice. So, which means global warming could, in the Antarctic, cause a thickening of the sea ice.
I understand that this work that you're doing today is part of a whole series of other experiments that is described as the International Polar Year.
Well, this cruise is actually part of the International Polar Year. The International Polar Year is a multinational effort to concentrate on the important aspects of the polar oceans. The polar oceans are so huge and so inaccessible that only efficient international collaboration will result in really significant findings.
Well, Dr. Marcus, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to share today with the listeners of Earth and Sky?
One of the greatest things we are all very fond of on the sea ice are the penguins, because the penguins are not afraid of humans whatsoever. They come out of the water and get as close as 1 meter, 3 feet to us. And just stand among us and look around of seeing what we're doing, which is remarkable because they probably haven't seen color before at all. And we wear all our yellow and red freezer suits, and they just stand there next to us and basically watch what we are doing, which is a really cute thing, and it never gets boring watching these penguins just, you know, walking among us.
That was NASA scientist Torsten Marcus of the Goddard Space Flight Center on sea ice in the Antarctic. And I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.